right, now we're going to have our representative prayer, transitioning to our main worship service by Sue Paul.
On a Sabbath, to the Jews who persecuted him, Jesus said, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." John 5:17. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this study of our father of faith, Abraham, and how you gave him the gospel promise in advance, and how we are the recipients also of that promise. You graciously have given us the greatest covenant promise in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins and assurance of eternal life in your kingdom. You invite us to come into your presence through Christ and his righteousness, his perfect sacrifice on our behalf. So we come into your presence to rest and find peace and comfort, knowing that your intervening in our lives is always what is best for us. When Abraham went to Egypt during a severe famine and worked out his own plans to protect himself from ungodly men who wouldn't hesitate to kill him and take his beautiful wife Sarai, his plan failed miserably. Life is a series of choices, and we so often think we know what's best for ourselves, even ignoring the needs and feelings of others. But God can't bless us if our choices turn us away from him. God stepped in and solved Abraham's problems. Abraham thought he was alone in Egypt, but God had been with him the whole time. It is so comforting to know, Lord, excuse me, that you are always with us throughout our journey, especially in difficult times. During this forced time of seclusion, we pray to keep seeing your work, seeing things greater than just our own situation. Grant us deeper faith and insight, for we know that your calling is not just for us alone, but for all those connected to us. Although we miss gathering together in worship, you have given most of us more time with our immediate families, as well as more alone time with you. Thank you for those in ministry who have been making sure we can worship together separately on Sundays and other times of gathering online. Thank you especially for those who have been providing the website, praise music, including our young people in our service, those who have been conducting Bible studies online, and the continuing work of our leaders and messengers. Each messenger spends intense time studying the passage, teaching it, and listening to others who have prepared. They also pray and spend time in your presence, so their message to us is your message. Thank you for today's messenger, Kevin Riley, and blessing his preparation time with you. Help us to listen carefully now and find your special direction to each of us, to believe in your plan personally. May we see many confused and frightened people, including college students, turning to you and finding your peace, which passes all understanding, and accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, bless the work of our hands. Even though online worship has had its limitations, Lord, we thank you for those who have been faithfully worshiping with us, especially our missionary Joan in Texas, Bruce Kwiatkowski in Germany, our newlyweds Dungeon and Hannah, Abraham Kim and family, and others. May we stay connected through the many media options at our disposal and always remember each other in prayer. May we thoroughly enjoy this time in your presence, Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, now we're going to read today's passage from Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. So hopefully you can see the passage on the screen. You can read along with me. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herds and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at the time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents. There he built an altar to the Lord. Thank God for his word of scripture today. Now we'll hear today's message by Kevin Riley.
Hello, everyone. Nice to see you all, so to speak. And isn't it a beautiful day today and yesterday? Very, very beautiful days. Probably yesterday was the most beautiful day in the time. So I'll read that. And if you like to join in to read, feel free. Ready? So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Albert Camus was a 20th century philosopher who said that life is the sum of all our choices. One scientist determined that a person makes about 70 decisions a day, 25,000 in a year, and over 2 million choices in a lifetime. Genesis 13 is a sign that both success and failure in life boil down to our decision making. In fact, Genesis 13 is like a warning sign to each of us. Abram and Lot traveled the same road for many years, from Ur in Mesopotamia to Haran, and then finally to the land of Canaan, to which God called Abram. But they came to a fork in their road that required them not only to separate, but to make a critical decision about where each of them would go. Someone said that we are free to make any choices we want in life, but we are never free from the consequences of our choices. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this passage today. Please be with us and help us to see through the life of Abram and the life of Lot that success and failure come down to our choices. But help us to meditate this passage and to think about what kind of choices we are making in our daily life, and what kind of choices do we make when it comes to critical decisions. So thank you for this time. Please bless this word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Part 1, Abram and Lot's Fellowship. Verse 1 through 4 read, "Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord." Abram, after a brief sojourn in Egypt, is now thankful for what he has learned. Going to Egypt was a bad choice because he did not trust God's provision in the land that he had called him to. However, God is still with his man. In fact, God brought Abram out of Egypt with many provisions. When he comes back to where he had first built an altar, he now calls on the name of the Lord. He has now learned to live by faith in the land where God called him to. He is a man of prayer who worships the one God, Jehovah, in the midst of a land where many pagan gods are worshiped. He is a fair and upright businessman, a good steward of his riches. He offers tithes and sacrifices for sin on the altar that he returned to, and is testifying to the Lord's goodness to those around him. However, there is a problem brewing. Look at verse 5 and 6. "Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time." If you've ever looked at a map of the geography of Canaan, it contains both mountains and plains, fertile regions and desert. These fertile regions were at a premium, so herders were often quarreling about this land. The land simply could not support both Abram and Lot with their newfound livestock, herds, herdsmen, and servants. Abram faces a choice. God has promised all the land to him, but he hasn't acquired any of it yet. But in order to maintain peace with his nephew, Abram becomes a peacemaker. He is going to share the land with Lot. So in our key verse that we already read, verse 8 and 9, we read, "So Abram said to Lot, 'Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left.'" Part 2, Lot's choice. So let's look at this verse 10 and 11. "Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah." So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Apparently, from the place that they were speaking, they could see the entire area. It is interesting that the text reads, "So Lot chose for himself." Lot made his choice, but he did not wait or consult on God. This Jordan Valley was a paradise. It was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt that Lot had seen while he was there with Abram. But as soon as Lot looked up at this fertile piece of land, the dollar signs started flashing in his mind. He was already ringing up the profits in his mind and logging them into his spreadsheet. Well-fed and well-watered herds meant trading for good things with the cities of the plain, which could make him and his family much richer and life perhaps much easier. He took the best of the land, leaving the leftovers to Abram. In a sense, Lot has a motto that many people have, that is, "The only way anything good can happen in my life is what I make happen." We know that the New Testament called Lot a righteous man. Yet he is proof that two men who have the same foundation can build something entirely different. So verses 11 through 13 read, the two men parted company. Excuse me. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Although Sodom has come to represent a wicked form of sexual immorality, the text includes all the people of Sodom were sinning against the Lord. In fact, life in Sodom might have gotten so wicked that they were living like the pre-diluvian generation that God judged in the flood. Outwardly to Lot, Sodom probably looked very profitable. To his wife and daughters, it perhaps looked very glittery. But the rotten moral corruption that lay beneath the glitter was so bad and irreparable that God had to pronounce judgment on the city. Abram in Canaan and Lot in Sodom are more than just geographical areas. They represent two conditions of the heart, one with God at the center of one's life and one with material gain at the center of one's life. We generally make decisions based on our core values. Many in our ministry have made godly decisions. But there are also many children in our ministry who are growing up fast. In the next few years, they will make critical decisions about their lives, where they will go to school, what kind of career they choose, and whom they will marry. As parents, we need to pray that our children may not pitch their tents towards Sodom in their decision-making process, moving farther and farther away from God as Lot did. Rather, we may help them make decisions that are God-centered as Abraham did, not self-centered as Lot did. Whatever critical decisions our children will make, they will bear the long-term consequences of those decisions. Part three, Abram's choice. Verse 14 through 17 read, the Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. To walk through the length and the breadth of the land was to help Abram realize that his descendants would one day fill this land of promise as he walked with God. Walking through the land was a process that was the equivalent of measuring the land. In ancient times, taking the measure of something was a sign of ownership. This walking about the land gave him vision for what God had called him to do, to fill the land with descendants. God assured Abram that all the land he could see was to be given to him and his descendants. Mountains and plains and dust and little grazing land would typify the land where he would live. But God used this dust as a testimony to the blessings that would come. No longer was he to look on that dust with doubt, but with hope, for it was to be the symbol of the enormity of his future blessings. Later, God promised that his descendants would be like the sands on the seashore. If you put a few grains of sand in your hand, or you can count a few stars in the sky, they are almost too difficult to count, but dust is impossible to even attempt to count. So in both a spiritual and physical sense, Abraham's descendants will be unimaginably numerous. So down at the bottom there, look at verse 18. So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tent. There he built an altar to the Lord. Lot pitched his tents near Sodom, but Abram pitched his tents at Mamre, which means vision, and at Hebron, which means community. With altar-building faith and with God's vision, he built a community of believers, his physical and spiritual offspring who would inherit the land. Is there anything as beautiful as this? How do we build an altar as Abram did? The vision and community that God gave Abram is the same vision that the Lord Jesus gives us when he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The choices made by Abram and Lot are much like the choices that confront all men. But the choices or decisions we make reveal what is at the center of our heart. Abram's choice was to reside in Canaan, where God called him to. Not just the physical Canaan, but the spiritual Canaan, a city whose architect and builder was God. Life is full of choices and consequences. Abraham chose a strong devotional life, a vertical relationship with God. Because of this relationship with God, he also had healthy horizontal relationships with his family, his servants, and his business peers. Lot's heart was centered in Sodom, a place where wealth, prosperity, and wickedness live side by side together. Even though he was a righteous man, he did not seem to cultivate any vertical relationship with God. For example, he built no altars. Without a healthy relationship to God, his horizontal relationships were superficial at best. Abram lived by faith in the promises God made to him and inherited God's blessings. Lot lived by sight, and even though he gained much in temporal wealth, he eventually lost it all. He was like a man that escaped through the flames with nothing to show for his life work. How sad it is when a person's life work goes up in flames. Abraham's descendants became a nation called by God. Lot's descendants became more or less the enemies of God's people. To a greater or lesser degree, we are all a bit like Lot and Abram, a somewhat curious mixture of self-serving sinner, excuse me for saying that, and faithful follower. Some of our decisions are good, some are not so good. But our decisions create a ripple effect. A wise person once said, any decision you make three times. Once when you make it, once when someone else makes the same decision after seeing you make it, and once when another person makes the same decision after seeing the person who watched you make it. I hope you followed me on that one. In life, our decisions always cause consequences, like the rippling effects of throwing a rock into the water. Throw a rock into the water, and many ripples go out in each direction. Even if you tried to take the rock out, the ripples would still go. Mother Teresa once said, "I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast a stone across the waters to create many ripples." In like manner, we want the consequences of our life to have a godly impact in the world, to ripple throughout our family, our church, our society, our world. In conclusion, God promised Abram many blessings that he received when he put God at the center of his life. For us, putting God first is to put the Lord Jesus Christ at the center of our life. And living by faith is to make decisions of faith through which we inherit the same blessings that Abram received through our Lord. Earlier, I spoke about our children. But for adults, often the joy of our initial conversion has dissipated. sometimes because of the burdens of this world, sometimes because of bad decisions we have made. However, one decision of faith we adults can make is to leave the past behind, to leave behind the ungodly and even ugly consequences of what we have created, confess them rather than covering them up, and to press on as we originally did. As we do this, our heart will be cleansed, and our heart and vision will be renewed to the initial joy of our conversion. When we put the Lord at the center of our life, we will inherit God's blessings, his hope, his meaning, and his purpose for a world that is filled with hopelessness, despair, and futility. Through decisions of faith, we inherit a godly legacy and a fruitful posterity. Amen. Let's read our key verse once more. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this passage. But Genesis 13 is kind of a warning to us that our decisions will have the consequences that may bear godly consequences or ungodly consequences. Lord, help us to always renew our vision. Help us to leave behind the ungodly consequences and even the ugly consequences that we have created, and confess and renew our vision and our hope in you. We also pray for our children that they may make not self-centered decisions, but God-centered decisions as they come up to the critical decisions of their life in these next few years. As parents, we may pray for our children. And even though my children are grown, I find I must pray for them still, that they may be God-centered and not self-centered or material-centered. Thank you for this time, and thank you for this passage. Just help us to remember that we are free to make decisions, but we are not free from the consequences. So help us to make decisions that are godly decisions, so that the rippling effect of our decisions may be godly and may have a positive impact in the world. Thank you for this time, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, thank you. So we thank God for Kevin's message today and reminding us to really make God-centered decisions and to pray for our children to do the same. So sometimes we need to come back to our altar, just like Abram did, and renew our spiritual life, and find a way to put God back at the center of our life. So sometimes we may need to walk. So Abraham had to walk the length and breadth of the land. So for us, you know, it takes some action to come back to our altar and to rethink what God has been doing in our life and get him back at the center. So that could be writing a testimony or just spending time with God in prayer, or some really intense time, personal time to really reflect, think about what God has done in our life. Thank you. That concludes our announcements. So let me pray, and then we will maybe just jump back to do our benediction. And then after that, if you'd like to stay on and share something you learned, we can do that. So Let me pray. Father, we just thank you for this very important and relevant message from Genesis. Help us to really to make God-centered decisions, to pray for our children as well, to do the same. Help us to come back to our altars, really putting God back at the center of our life. Help us to renew that promise of God in our heart, his grace and his mercy. We pray that you may continue to be with us. Help our parents to find creative ways and our CBF leaders to continue to somehow hold our CBF camp in some way. And we just pray for our college students and our ministry as well. Just thank you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's sing our benediction.
Praise him.